Jude. We're going to read one verse together. Verse number 21. Jude, verse 21. Reading from the King James Bible. And let's read together, shall we? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We'll talk to you this morning about keeping yourselves in the love of God. Dear God, thank you again for loving us, for being a wonderful God. And thank you, Lord, for these dear folks, for their faithfulness. I pray that you bless them, Lord. Thank you for a good group of folks that love you, love the Word of God, and love souls. And Lord, it's easy for us to come to church and enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the preaching, enjoy the singing. But Lord, as we read in the adult Bible study, Lord, I was in almost all evil in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. And Lord, it's easy for those who are just on the fence to go either way. And I pray, Lord, that you teach us through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God, to keep ourselves in thy love. And Lord, you know how the enemy would like to bombard us and to destroy us. The world's bombarding us. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that this will be a help this morning. Help us to pay attention, please. And help us to learn to keep ourselves in thy love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jude, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. For God to tell us to keep ourselves in the love of God means that we can lose the love of God. We can fall out of the love of God. It's a commandment like all the other commandments. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And so last week I preached or taught the sermon, The Love of God. And this morning is like part two, obviously, keeping yourselves in the love of God and what the Bible says concerning love. Just real quick, a recap from last week. We said that God is love in 1 John 4, verses 8 and 16. That's the definition of love, is God, the God of the King James Bible. That love, number two, that love is found in Jesus Christ, Romans chapter number 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That love, number three, is found in believers of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter number 5. The Holy Ghost has shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. And then Sunday night, even though I mentioned it last Sunday morning, but last Sunday night, we talked about that love, that God loves them that keep his commandments, because that shows and proves that they do love God. 1 John 5, verse 2 and 3, and many, many other verses. So God proclaims himself as love in 1 John 4, verses 8 and 16, because he is love. He also said that he's the truth in John 14, verse number 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In order for someone to be saved, he must be presented with the truth, the King James Bible. That truth will reveal the judgment of God that's coming. Only by first understanding the judgment of God can you then ask for mercy, as Titus 3:5 says, to be saved. If you think you can work your way to heaven, then you are downplaying and minimizing the soon coming judgment of God by doing religious stuff and religious work to escape that judgment. The judgment of God is much more terrible than any of us think or know. And that is why the only way past his judgment is pleading for mercy to save us. By pleading for mercy from God and asking Jesus to save our souls from hell will lead us to the unsearchable riches of his love. Those two ingredients, truth and love, cannot be separated. They're inextricably intertwined and connected to each other over and over and all the time. You cannot have the truth of God without love, and you cannot have the love of God without his truth. We cannot say the same thing about, or you can only find out about love through his truth. Because the truth is the word of God. The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ personified in written form. So we learn from the truth about love. You cannot learn about the truth just from your perception of what you think love is. Cannot. Truth defines what love is. But love without the truth, you're going to come up with your own definition that's going to be warped and perverted, contrary to Scripture. That's why the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:1 that no man knoweth love or hatred. You need the Word of God to discern that. The only way we can know what those two subjects are is from God, God's Word, which is the truth. Whenever you take away any portion of his truth out, then you are excising also God out and excising his love out. We cannot say the same thing about love, as I said, because God is love and the truth reveals what love is. We must first learn what God's love is from God's truth. And since we have God's truth, the Word of God, we start there to find out what love is. For instance, God still demands a death penalty for murderers, sodomites, adulterers, kidnappers, and others. That has not changed the Bible one bit. But you will hear the world screaming for so-called love and so-called mercy on those criminals and lawbreakers contrary to the Word of God. Where God says in Proverbs, let no man stay him. Let no man stay his execution, he says. So whenever you want something contrary to the Word of God, your view of truth and your view of love is warped and perverted, and it is not right. You may have feelings, and you may have emotions. That's a lot of times baggage carried over from before the flood, from before salvation that you bring with you. That's contrary to the Word of God. What the world calls love today is really lust, or pride, or rebellion, or paganism, or evil, or wickedness, or disorderliness. Because they hate God so much, they hate truth. Those of us that are saved must, by faith, believe this book. By faith. And so by faith, I believe what God says is better than what John Cletus thinks. By faith, I believe what God says is better than anything I will ever think of prior to getting saved or even after I got saved. So by faith, I must rely on what God says alone. Because most of us did not grow up in a Bible-believing home, most or all of our views about truth and love were warped and perverted. Before salvation, we loved only those that loved us, and those that we liked, and those that we thought were lovable. We did not much care for the truth. We cared about ourselves, we cared about our pride, our ego, our survival, ourselves, our family, our selfish wants, our selfish desires. We didn't mind white lies or cheating on our taxes or gambling or drinking alcohol, wine, beer, liquor, exposing our nakedness, exaggerating, deceiving others, manipulating others, using other people. You know what I'm talking about. But after salvation, we come face to face with the God of love, who died for our sins to save us from hell, and that truth revealed how great God loved us. So now, as we read the Word of God on a daily basis, Lord willing, hopefully, God's truth is revealed to us as we read and as we hear his Word. As his Word, his truth is revealed to us. It is then that his love, after that, is revealed to us at the same time coupled with truth. The passages of Scripture that we find difficult, that we sometimes want to skip over, that we sometimes do not like to read, that we make up excuses as to why they do not apply today, is due to the fact that those truths are very uncomfortable in a world and country that hates God and hates the King James Bible. That's why this generation especially has tried over and over again to change the words of God in the Word of God. They do not like what God says. And so, you think they love God when they say it, but just because you say you love God does not mean you love God. Just because somebody says, oh, I love Jesus, does not mean they love Jesus, gentlemen. as evidenced in the Word of God that we read last week and we're going to read today and Lord willing next Sunday. Some truths and words are very convicting to those who do not want to completely surrender to Jesus Christ. They're convicting to those of us who do want to surrender to Him. The Bible says that God is the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, the God of judgment, and that God is love. All of them are true. And you can't take one ingredient out and have the same God. Take your Bible, please, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to give you some insights of what God says love is. What God says. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. My Bible says, love not sleep. That's what he says. Don't you want to stay in bed and get that extra hour of sleep this morning? Aren't you mad at the government, angry at the government? Huh? Playing mind games with people, man. That's all they're doing, man. This is the closest I've ever wanted to move to Florida because I think they voted or they're going to vote that not to change your clocks twice a year. 2 Samuel, chapter number 1. This is a love story. A love story. I think one of the greatest love stories in the Bible that's rarely ever mentioned as a great love story. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 17. And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. This is David, who was being hunted and hounded by King Saul. The guy he's talking about wanted to kill David. And this is what David says about King Saul, who died in battle with his son Jonathan. Could you say that about somebody who hated you and trying to kill you? Verse 25. 24, ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Watch this, please. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. That's quite a statement for David to say about Jonathan. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I love anything more than my wife, except Jesus and the church and the Word of God. I remember when I got saved. See, the only thing I knew about love was how much my mom loved me, my mother loved me, and how much I loved my mother. I still have never found, I don't think, a bond closer mother-son than I had with my mother, to be quite honest with you. But after I got saved, I started reading my Bible, started going to church all the time. And my mother said to me, you love that church more than you love me. And I never thought about it that way. And I said, no, what are you talking about? But what happened was, God gave me a love that I didn't have before. God gave me an affection for the things of God that I never had before. And God allowed me, not only did I love my mom before I got saved, but he gave me a greater love for my mother after I got saved. But what happens is with lost people, they look at you with jealousy or envy because now if you're saved, a child of God, and you love God, they're looking at you because you love God more than you love me. And you love your Bible more than you love me. And you love your church more than you love me. Have you ever heard that one before? Husband, wife, parent, child, brother, sister, relative, neighbor, co-worker. Amen. What's it David said about Jonathan? Your love surpassed the love that men have to women. I'll tell you what, man, that's quite a statement right there. I mean, how much do you really love God? I mean, if your wife leaves you, your husband leaves you, you're still going to love God? I mean, your parents leave you, disown you, your children forsake you, you're still going to love God? Or is your love still on the other side of the flood? Is your love still on the other side of salvation? Is your love still an immature love that you don't love God? You just like things that you can use for your emptiness inside to fill that void, to fill that vacuum. See, God's love is one way. It's not reciprocal. God first loved us. That's why we love him. And so if we love the way God loves, we're going to love people regardless if they love us back to the detriment of the other relationships that we've ever had. Because they're going to feel left out. Don't you love me anymore? I cannot predict the future. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I have no idea. But I'm telling you, God keeps me sane. Some people don't think I'm sane. But if God keeps me with the right mind and God is willing, lets me breathe, I plan on being in church, amen, when I'm physically able to. If my wife leaves me, my children leave me, or if my church leaves me, I plan to love God no matter what. This love that passes the love of women is something that David had with Jonathan. That bond that they had was greater love that surpassed the love of women. Jesus says something about that in the Gospel of John, don't you think? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus said. That surpasses the love of women. And there's nothing wrong with the love. I love my wife. She was gone all week this week, and I picked her up from the airport yesterday. Some of you don't know, but she went to North Carolina to see my son, Kathy, and the baby, and I picked her up, and I miss my wife. And as much as I miss my wife, I don't want to miss God. I miss my kids, but I don't want to miss God. I'd miss my church if something happened, you know, like Bud's sick, and he's going to be out for a couple weeks or so, you know, and Isaac's sick, and, you know, other people are sick and stuff. But I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss my Bible reading. I don't want to miss my prayer time. I don't want to miss God. And sometimes we just love people because it's only lust to fill a vacuum and a void that's something that we're missing because we see somebody else have. Blessed be God. If you fall in love with God, you don't have to worry about any vacuum or void, man. If you fall in love with Jesus Christ and you have the love of God, if somebody else loves you, glory be to God. If they don't love you, glory be to God. But what it is we have a shallowness of really what Bible says is love. Because we don't know what the definition of love is outside the Word of God. So here David is saying, thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. And I did a Bible study years ago on this, but the truth of the matter is Jonathan loved David more than David loved Jonathan. And Jonathan didn't mind. And Saul hated his son Jonathan because he loved David so much. Well, sometimes you're going to have to put up with that. Sometimes if you love somebody and you love God and you love the Word of God and you love the people of God, somebody said, well, blood is thicker than water, you know, like as a family. Well, I got news for you. The blood of Jesus Christ is a lot thicker than family blood. I can tell you that much. Yeah, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I love my cousins, my aunts, and my uncles. The blood of Jesus Christ is a lot thicker than the blood of my family. You mark that down. You mark that down. My Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love in Proverbs 27, verse number 5. You know how we have secret love, you know? Shh, don't tell anybody. You write love notes, you know? Like teenage love, puppy love, you know? You don't want anybody finding out, you know? You're in high school, college, whatever. You're writing little notes. My Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. That's what, this is part of the definition of God's love right here in Proverbs 27. How do you take that out of there? Open rebuke. I mean, you can't get better open rebuke than preaching the word of God against sin. Well, that's part of God's love, ladies and gentlemen. God's love is better than a secret love that you may have for someone. Open rebuke. When God says he loves somebody, he corrects somebody, the Bible says, because he loves us. My Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 36, all they that hate me love death. Yeah, the people, did you ever notice people hate God, love death? Look what's going on, man. From the rock concerts, from Hollywood, the movies, the stars, they love death. They talk about death. It's like the kiss of death, you know? Black Sabbath. I mean, you just name after name after name. They're talking about death. And they love death because they hate God. They don't know what love is. They fornicate. They commit adultery. But they don't know what love is. That's why they're married 2, 3, 4, 5 times. That's why the average, I don't know, I shouldn't say the average, but most of those Hollywood whores are married 2, 3, 4 times. Just hopping in bed with somebody else. Next time, next year, 2 years here, 2 years there, 3 years here, 4 years there. They have no idea what love is. And you watch those movies thinking that's what love is. And they're fake, phony, and frauds. They're acting and lying so they can get some money. And you believe they're acting instead of what God says in the Word of God. Song of Solomon says, love is strong as death. Chapter 8, verse number 6. Love is strong as death. So, love is very, very strong and as strong as death. That's what the definition God says about love. It's a very powerful thing. And he goes on in the next verse, verse number 7, he says, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned. That's one of the definitions of love right there. Love is as strong as death. Take a Bible, please turn with me to 2 Samuel 13. I'm talking about keeping yourselves in the love of God this morning. Because if you're not careful, you're going to fall out of love with God, fall out of love with the Word of God, fall out of love with the house of God, and the world's going to get you, man. I'm just telling you right now. Because they don't know what love is. 2 Samuel chapter number, let's start in verse number 1, I guess. Story of Amnon and Tamar, if you remember the story. 2 Samuel chapter number 13. It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. So they're half brother, half sister, okay? Amnon and Tamar. Both the children of David. Verse 2. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister. He was lovesick. He was lovesick, okay? For his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. Well, ladies, it'd be good for you to know, learn how to take flour, knead it, and make cakes and bake. Verse number 9. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered and said, she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, watch this. And she was right in what she was saying here. Therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, and he will not withhold me from thee. I mean, there's a proper way to do this. He wanted to rape her against her will. And she says, go to the king, and he'll say, okay, but not right now. Verse number 14. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Watch this now, verse number 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. The guy who wanted her, the guy who lusted after her, the guy who only thought about her, the guy who devised a plan to rape her against her will, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. Love is strong as death. I'm telling you, I've been in courtroom for 39 years. I've been in different courts of law for 39 years. And I've taken a lot of matrimonials. And the people that were so in love with each other hate each other more than they ever loved each other. Exactly what the Bible says right here. Because they didn't know what love really was. They may have been infatuated with each other. They may have liked the way that he may have liked the way that she looked and acted at one time. She may have liked how much money he made at one time. She may have liked how good looking he was at one time. He may have liked how good looking she was in her teens or 20s. But it's interesting, when you get to be 40 and 50 years old, looks change. People go bankrupt. And minds wander. And eyes wander. Because if you don't have the love of God, you don't keep the love of God, you have no foundation, you have no anchor for your love. And you're going to be looking for something else to fill a void that's missing. He said something to her that hurt her. She said something to him that hurt her, him. And now they're in divorce court 10, 20, 30 years after they got married, sometimes 1 year. Because people don't know what love is. Love is a one-way street. A one-way street. God says, I'll love you whether you love me back or not. He so loved the world. The vast majority of the world hates God. But he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So his love is still outstretched for the world, even though they've rebelled against him. The love that he had for Tamar is nothing compared to the hatred he had afterwards. Yeah. You know how many guys have been built, you know how many guys have taken their money away from them because they've been taken to court? And women too. You know what I'm talking about. If not yourself, you've had a brother or sister, parents, children. It's devastating. When somebody you put your whole life into, you put all the eggs in one basket hoping for this to be your dream person. Why don't you put all your eggs in Jesus Christ? Why don't you put all your hopes and all your dreams in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God? Because he's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. How could you leave me? God will never leave you. How could you do that to me? God will never do that to you. So if you start with God first and look for those who are going after God along the same way, then you'll have more in common with somebody. Are you going to meet somebody at a bar or a grill or on a dance floor? You're going to meet somebody at work? You're just there to make money. I'm not saying it won't work out sometimes. And you know, God turned a curse into a blessing, but it's a lot better chance to meet somebody in God's house or somebody going the same direction as you are going with God, who wants to love God. You see, Jonathan had a love that passed the love of women. And Amnon thought he loved Tamar so much, but it was just a desire, a lustful desire. And after he had what he got, he hated her. The Bible says the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. God said in Hosea 14:4, he says, I will love them freely. I will love them freely. You better be careful when you're dealing with emotions with people. Psalm 122, verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. This whole world's against God's people in Israel, man. I'm telling you right now. But God says, they shall prosper that love thee, Jerusalem. So you better start loving Jerusalem and pray for them. In Isaiah 66:10, he says, rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. And all through the scriptures, God says you ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. No one grew up, unless you're Greek, knowing how many people hate the Jews like the Greeks do. You don't understand. Everything is a Jew's fault. And I know about the international bankers and the Illuminati, and I know that. And I agree with that. But I'm telling you something. Scripture is higher than man's hatred or opinion of some group of people. So you know what I do? I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I know they're not saved, but God tells me to pray for them. So guess what? I'm going to love them. Doesn't mean I have to agree with them. Doesn't mean I have to like them. But I'm going to love them and I'm going to pray for them. By the way, this is like other people that are lost on their way to hell. You're supposed to love them. They're lost, children of the devil. Do you say, well, I'm not going to love them because they're lost? But yeah, God loved us before we loved him, the Bible says. Take your Bible, please turn to Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew 24. I'm talking about keeping yourselves in the love of God. Matthew 24, and this is just the reality that we have today, Matthew 24 here. Matthew 24, verse number 12. And some of these verses I may have mentioned last week, I do not remember on the top of my head right now, but these truths are here for this Bible study about keeping yourselves in the love of God. Because if you're not careful, let me tell you something. Don't tell me that you stop reading the Bible, you still love God and people. It ain't going to happen. Your nose got to be in this book every single day. Don't tell me you haven't read the Bible in a week or two, but you're going to read it one day to catch up. No, you can't catch up in one hour of Bible reading for the last 2-3 weeks of not reading your Bible. You're going to have a cold heart. You can act it out, but I'm telling you, your anger is going to get the best at you. It's going to come eventually out. You're going to say something you're going to regret because you didn't keep yourself in the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We talked this morning about 1 Corinthians 15:33 in the adult Bible study. Evil communication, corrupt good manner. So whatever you're watching and listening to and whatever you're hanging around with is going to corrupt good manners. And he says, keep yourself in the love of God because you know what? Iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's going to happen. So he forewarns us, hey, it's going to be rampant. It's going to be really bad. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Because if you don't, your heart's going to get cold. Look, you and I can both remember people that used to sit in these pews 5 years ago or 10 years ago or in the old building 15 years ago or 20 years ago, and they loved God and they loved souls and they loved the Word of God. Hey, where are they now? Right. Not in church, not reading their Bibles, not living for God. But they love God just like you love God. They were here 5 years ago. They were here 10 years ago. Look, I know preachers better preach than me. They're preaching better sermons than I've ever preached in my entire life. Out of the ministry, not pastoring, dead, and not dead right either. Dead not right. Yeah. What happened? Didn't keep themselves in the love of God. Iniquity shall abound, and because of that, the love of money shall wax cold. Hey, you and I are not immune to this. So we go day by day without reading the Bible, day by day without getting on our knees, asking God for mercy to forgive us of our sins, day by day, week by week, month by month, and then we get a cold heart. John 5, please, John chapter number 5. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:3, if any man love God, the same is known of him. If you keep yourself in the love of God and you love God, God knows who you are. And more so than just knowing, I mean, his eye is on you when you love God. John chapter number 5, verse number 42. Jesus speaking, he said, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Can you imagine Jesus Christ saying that to you, to me? The question is, do you love God this morning? Do you love the Word of God this morning? Do you love souls this morning? Do you love the things of God? Can you imagine Jesus saying, I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I mean, these are religious people. I mean, just like the folks in evangelical, Pentecostal, evangelical churches and Pentecostal charismatic churches. Oh, I love Jesus. Just because you sway and put your hands in the air and say some words does not mean that you love Jesus. I don't care if you're independent fundamental Baptist, doesn't mean that you love Jesus. The definition of love is found in the book that we're reading this morning and last week. Not your misconstrued thought of what love may be. You know, the Bible says husbands ought to love their wives as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible says love your wives and be not bitter against your wives. That's what Jesus said. Huh? That's God's love. Hey, fellas, you want to love your wife? God says you ought to provide for your wife and give your life for your wife. As Jesus did. But you want to ship her out so she can make some money. Jesus did not have the church die for our sins. Let me repeat that. Jesus did not have the church die for our sins. Jesus himself gave himself for the church. But most men today are a bunch of lazy bums, man. They want to drink their liquor or drink their beer, watch the football game, and order their wife around while they're a slob, not getting a job, not even looking for a job, not getting a second job. You know why? Because we don't know what love is. We've memorized more movie lines than we have Bible scriptures. Yeah. We've memorized the actors and the actresses and the harlots and the whores of the Hollywood screen. We know what year they came out, who won the Oscar for it, more than we know chapters and verses in the Word of God. Yet we stand up and say, well, I love Jesus. And we put online on our social media, I love Jesus. Well, you let God be the determiner of that. You let others say that. He said, I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Luke chapter number 11, please. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Verse number 42. He said, but woe unto you, Pharisees, exclamation point, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. You better be careful. Nothing wrong with dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And Jesus said you ought to do all that, but don't pass over the judgment and love of God. And sometimes we think, well, I'm dotting all the I's, I'm crossing all the T's, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Well, how's your heart today? You right? Wear the right clothes, bring in a King James Bible, have a shirt and tie, dress and a skirt. You come to a building that has a Baptist sign outside. We ask you a question, how's your heart this morning? Jesus said, you ought not to pass over and leave undone the judgment and love of God. Do the other stuff. But don't get mad at the judgment things of God that God has outlined in the Word of God, because it's very uncomfortable in 2018 today. But we pass over those things because they're just uncomfortable. I don't like reading about those things, Pastor. That's why people today, they just want to read the New Testament. Because the God of the New Testament is so much nicer than the God of the Old Testament. That's because you haven't read Matthew 23. That's all. That's because you haven't read 1 Corinthians 5:1, where Paul says what he said about fornicators. And so what we do is we excise certain scriptures out and passages out because they're uncomfortable. And let's just talk about love without any truth or any judgment from the same book of love. And we have a warped view of what love is today. Let me tell you something. I'm going to love you whether you agree with anything I preach on or not. My love for you is not going to be shortchanged. It's not going to be shortened because you disagree or don't like what I preach or don't follow what I preach. My love for you has nothing to do with that. I'm preaching this because I love God and I love the Word of God and I love you. But if you say, Pastor, I don't agree with you, that's not going to change my love for you. Oh, it's not. So I disagree with that, Pastor. That's fine. That's not going to change my love for you. I'm preaching this because I love you, because I know what God says. And we need to love other people regardless how unlovable they are. Since we're in Luke, let's turn to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. I don't know if they're being tortured up there or that's Relisa, or that's Relisa being tortured by the kids. Luke chapter number 6. Verse number 27. But I say to you which hear, love your enemies and love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. This is kind of God's love. This is God's love, okay? Not mankind's love, not the world's love, God's love. Verse 29. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's what God said. Hey, can you be kind to the unthankful and evil? The only way you can do that is the love of God. Not your preconceived notion of what love was before salvation. Oh yeah, I don't get mad, I get even. Oh, what chapter and verse is that in? Huh? Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For wherewith the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. If not here, God will reward you at the judgment. Don't you believe we're going to stand before God one day? Even if it doesn't work out in this lifetime, is this lifetime more important to you than standing before God, right? We're so short with people. As I said in the old Bible, we get angry at the wrong people at the wrong time for the wrong reasons. We lash out because we're immature. We're immature. But if we had the love of God and we kept ourselves in the love of God, we'd love people the way Jesus loved us. And we can. That's the thing. We can love people the way Jesus loves us. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So you can love money, and that's the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money. Money's not the root of all evil. The love of money is. Because that's your God. When you love money, that's your God. And you'll be a cutthroat just to make money. You'll be a good Republican then. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Verse number 1. I'll close with this. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So we ought to pray one for another that the word of God permeates and penetrates our hearts with the love of God. And not just the love of God, with all truth and all judgment and everything else in the word of God. Does the word of God have free course in your heart, in your life, in your mind, in your soul? Verse number 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. They're not all saved, like Billy Graham said. They're not all saved, like the Pope says. They're not all saved, like these fake, phony, false religious leaders say. All men have not faith, the Bible says. Verse number 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Watch this. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So God, if you allow God and ask God, God will direct your heart and keep you in the love of God that we need to be in to love people properly. All right, let's say somebody forsook you. You can still love them properly. Obviously, it might be a strained relationship. Obviously, there might be some things that maybe you're not going to be able to trust somebody again in some areas. I every situation is different. But you can love them properly the way God says. Say somebody hurts you. Say somebody said something nasty about you. Somebody purposely tried to destroy you. Hey, they did that to Jesus Christ. And he loved them anyway. And he went to the cross to pay for their sins. Hey, the only way we can properly love people that are unlovable is having the love of God and keeping ourselves in the love of God. And I'm telling you, as the days are getting worse and worse, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, the Bible says. So it's a necessity for you and I to keep ourselves in the love of God for what's coming down the road, ladies and gentlemen. This just society is deteriorating. This society is turning further and further away from God and running away as fast as they can from God and from truth. And if you're not careful, evil communications are going to corrupt good manners. And you're going to allow your heart to get cold because somebody hurt you or somebody did something or said something. It's inevitable. It's a natural thing. Let's do the supernatural thing and keep ourselves in the love of God by reading the Word of God. Being faithful to the house of God. That's why we all need preaching, I'm telling you. You can't get enough preaching. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, you need preaching. You need prayer time. to keep yourselves in the love of God. Because it's the only way God, this will be good, is going to show his love to the lost through you. That's how you got saved. Because somebody kept themselves in the love of God to share with you the love of God. And here you are today. So we need to keep ourselves in the love of God for others that will be saved later on, if the Lord tarries, through us that show the love of God through the truth of God. Let's keep ourselves in the love of God. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, it is very difficult to live in this day and age and love people the way that we ought to love them without the knowledge of the truth, without the Word of God, without the King James Bible. For without the truth, we're just going to go by our emotions, our intuition, our gut feelings. Others go by their horoscopes and palm readers and which way the wind blows. Dear God, we're supposed to live by faith, walk by faith. And we're supposed to love by faith because it's a commandment to love people. It's a commandment to keep ourselves in the love of your love. So, dear God, help us, Lord, to love thee, to love the Word of God, to love the people of God, and to love the lost the way that you tell us to. I thank you, dear God, for these dear folks. I pray that you bless them, encourage them. Give us wisdom to know how to deal with people that are unlovable, who make life difficult on purpose. Help us to love them the way that you loved us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying.